Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are joined by Richard Manning, a man that I admire tremendously for his acumen on a whole host of issues. He has spent much of his life in and around the swamp here in Washington, but has remained above it somehow and helped the rest of us try to figure out where are the places where you can safely tread without getting sucked into it. He is a man who has served as a lobbyist for the National Rifle Association in a previous incarnation. He has worked in the Labor Department under George W. Bush, responsible for public affairs there. He has been leading a tremendously important organization, the Americans for Limited Government, for a number of years now. He writes for The Hill and other outlets, and he is gracious to join us from time to time to talk about what's on his mind, and something very important is on his mind at the moment. And we talked a little bit about it earlier in the program with Kevin Freeman, but I wanted to drill down on the prospective hostile takeover of Qualcomm by a Singapore-based company with ties to the Chinese communist known as Broadcom. But before I get to all of that, let me just say a proper welcome. It's great to have you with us, Rick. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Frank.
So before we get into some of the particulars of this transaction, would you just remind us from your perspective about what's at stake here in terms of this so-called 5G technology and Qualcomm's ownership of some very important elements of it?
Well, Qualcomm developed 3G and 4G technology. So they are the ones who made it so your Apple phone is an actual Apple phone with multiple functions, like being able to see videos and things like that. So they're the ones who figured that out. And it's why all these cell phones, mobile phones work in the way they do and aren't just phones. So that's number one. That's who they are. 5G is the next step. 5G is machines talking to machines, almost in a self-controlled loop. And it's the next step in terms of artificial intelligence and this network of that's going to exist, whether we like it or not, that's going to sit there and kind of be self-contained and running. We know there's Google cars that drive around autonomous cars, and we kind of look at that as an anomaly. In 15 years, that's going to be the reality of how things are, and it's going to be the rare person who drives themselves. Qualcomm is at the center of developing that 5G technology, and they're competing with a company called Huawei out of China in terms of that development. And if Huawei wins that development race, then you know there'll be backdoors built in by the Chinese into all these systems. And as a result, things like our utility grid will be at risk because simply being able to be shut down or sped up to overheat it. See, we cannot afford to allow a company outside of the United States to develop this technology because they will be able to manipulate our economic engine with a flip of the switch.
Yeah. I must say I have considerable concerns about this technology in the first place. This whole idea of an Internet of Things, call me a Luddite, but it just seems to me, Rick Manning, that it is fraught in so many ways. And a week or so ago, we had a very interesting couple of segments with some folks warning about the radiation that the 5G technology will emanate that could be another public safety problem, to say nothing of physical security or economic security or simply privacy rights being imperiled. But it's coming, I gather, almost certainly. And the question I guess you're raising is at whose hands and with whose controls behind it? And so tell us a little bit about this company, Broadcom, and what it may mean in terms of actually sort of serving as a stalking horse for a very problematic Chinese company, as you say, called Huawei.
Broadcom is, first of all, in terms of the overall 5G, I share your concerns. Here's the challenge. Something along these lines is going to be developed. It's already being developed. And the question, the real question isn't whether it's going to be developed. It's whether it's going to be developed with the safeguards to make it so we don't get irradiated from it, and it's not a, and we don't end up essentially losing control of our own means of production based upon the internal circuitry that makes it all go. And so it's a, so that's really the question here. Broadcom is a company that's more of an implementer of technology rather than an innovator. They don't have a lot of patents and things like that. They're in Singapore. They're Singapore based. They're looking at moving their corporate headquarters here to the United States, and largely because they of another deal they did, a takeover deal, which they said they'd move their corporate headquarters to the U.S. as a result of that. The challenge is that they do have a lot of business relationships with China. The question becomes, once they control the technology, once they control the patents, once they control all of the innovation and the minds that are creating the innovation out of Qualcomm, at that juncture, it becomes much more difficult to stop that technology from being transferred to the Chinese simply through a series of deals on co-branding deals on in terms of Chinese products.
Yeah. And so knowing what you do, Rick Manning, about what the Chinese are up to, and again, we've been discussing that in terms of unrestricted warfare against us, economic warfare against us, a really chilling essay in the Chinese Communist Party's outlet called the Qixi Journal, that it makes it very clear that these companies, if under the control of China, this technology would almost certainly be used against us. So this raises a question. Kevin told me something I had not heard before, which is that the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States has very belatedly indicated that it would like to review this transaction, yet there is a board meeting tomorrow, which, as I understand it, all other things being equal, is likely to result in essentially Qualcomm being taken over by this, well, stalking horse for the Chinese, as I see it.
The great news is it was announced late yesterday, early today, that CFIUS has told Qualcomm to move their meeting back a month so they can review the implications of Broadcom takeover. Doesn't mean we're out of the woods. I mean, remember CFIUS under Obama with a whole different set of players on the board. Okay, I just understand it was all the Obama people running it, did agree to allow 20% of our uranium to be, you know, sold to the Russians. But nonetheless, that's the board we're talking about that's doing this. It's Trump cabinet officials are on that board. And so it's a different board than the one that signed off on the uranium transfer. But it is a board that has the capacity to say no. And there's been Senator John Cornyn, Senator Tom Cotton have been very vocal in the last day or two trying to get them to take action. We've done a few things. And hopefully they will not only take a month review of this situation, but then they will take the action of denying the capacity for a Broadcom to take over Qualcomm.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, Rick Manning, and I have been a critic of CFIUS in the past. I hope that this new leadership and evident interest in this particular transaction will be the sign of it being a much more robust organization doing what it's supposed to do, which is to really assess these national security implications. But it all starts with understanding that trade is not an end-all and be-all. It's in our interest if it's in our interests, particularly in our national security interest, but not necessarily if it's not. We thank you for sounding the alarm on this, Rick, and I want to give some measure of credit to you doing so for the intervention of Senator Cornyn and Cotton, and also my hope that we'll see from them and from Congressman Pittenger, who is also taking an interest in CFIUS, the kinds of reforms that will give this organization more teeth and hopefully remove it from some of the sway that has been exercised to this point of Treasury, which has long considered these sorts of transactions to be all good and the national security be damned. We'll be following it closely. With your help, my friend, thank you for joining us today. Come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.